Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey and the Better Software Company. Joining me today is someone with whom I had the pleasure of presenting recently here in Chicago at the IPATA conference. Imoki Hartiani is an entrepreneur and leads her field in using social media for driving her businesses forward, and she joins us right now live from Budapest, Hungary on Social Geek. Imoki, welcome.
Hello, everyone. It's my pleasure being here.
Well, it was certainly a pleasure meeting you, and I hope you enjoyed Chicago. I know you've been here many times, and I hope you enjoyed the city and got to see a lot of great sights. And you were here just before the weather turned brutally cold.
Yeah, it was lovely in Chicago, and it's a great city. I love Chicago, and yeah, well, at least it's not so foreign to me because we have cold winters in Hungary too. So I didn't get as shocked as some of my other colleagues.
Yes, some of the other people at the conference where we were speaking were from Africa and Asia and all across the globe. And many of them thought this was a brutal Chicago winter. And I think it was about 55 or 60 degrees.
So. Far from brutal.
They'd be in for a shock in January. So you have such a fascinating story. And I do want to get into some of the social media rules for reviews and comments that you presented at this conference. But really, I'd love to start with just getting a bit of your background. Can you share with us your story?
Well, I'm Hungarian, born and raised in Hungary. And Hungary is a small country, so if you want to see anything, you must go abroad. So I did. I lived 10 years abroad in Albania, in the United Kingdom, in Finland, and the longest in the Middle East, in Bahrain. I used to work in the aviation industry, and now I run my own business in air cargo, practically.
So you were in aviation in various forms, and it seems like the businesses that you've started are niche businesses, but they all have something to do with aviation or the airline industry, or there's some connection there. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. I mean, aviation industry, whoever is in it, knows that it's almost contagious. I remember the first time I traveled as a passenger by air, and I instantly fell in love with it. And I'm fascinated by aviation ever since. So I worked here and there in many countries and in many fields, but they were all related somehow to flying and aviation industry. And it's the same till today. I've been a flight attendant for two different airlines, which is when it was like really hands-on flying, experienced the physical flying itself, and worked in related fields for many, many years too. And what I do now is air cargo, a very special type of air cargo, live animal transport only. I mean, I don't do any other general cargo, only live animals.
Live animals, which is we were talking about this at the conference, that is an industry that is so niche, but it's so important, and especially to the customers who are literally taking their most loved thing on earth and trusting someone to safely transport that dog or cat or other animal across the globe. There's a lot of there's a lot of emotion and feeling in your business.
Yeah, we ship furry and feathery children, practically. So these right. are family members.
Yeah.
This is what makes our industry so extremely difficult in a way that we practically can't make a mistake. So big things don't happen, knock on wood. At least haven't happened to me until now. And because these are really family members, and I find this industry fascinating, and I find fascinating how I am able to switch between industry talk when I speak with allies and colleagues to absolutely personal, almost baby talk when I speak with the customers. Right. I know it's not exactly baby talk, but it's a very, very different communication, extremely different.
Yeah, you go from jargon with the airline folks to really speaking like a trusted advisor or even like a family member when people are talking about their pets.
Yeah, but when you call an airline, you cannot possibly say like, oh, I have this puppy, you guys. You won't take it seriously. So you must say like, okay, can I give you the airway bill number? It's so and so, right. It's booked on board, blah, blah, blah. But when you call the customer 1 minute later, you're going to say like, Jesse is just on board or just arrived to the headquarters in Dubai or something. So it's very, very, very different. Vocabulary, the tone of your voice is different, actually. And I find this fascinating when I work, that I balance so well and jingle so well with the wording and the style between professional environment and the customers.
I think there's a level of success that you can get to when you speak both of those languages, and I know you speak literally many other languages, but but when you're speaking the airline jargon 1 minute and then talking to a customer about their family member the next minute, to be able to translate between those two, I think there's something there that a lot of people in business just don't get, and they confuse their customers with jargon, or they don't get the point across with their industry professionals when they're not using the right technical term. So I think there's a real art there. Tell us about your other business too. You've got something where you're training airline professionals in an ongoing situation too, right?
Yeah, that's I call my love child business. Because I loved flying and being on board an aircraft a lot. And I was always wondering, what could I do to kind of relive this? Mm-hmm. And so I created this preparatory training system to give a help to flight attendant wannabes for the entry exams. I actually train people who wish to join a European airline or a Middle Eastern or any other airline. I think the entry exam is different in the United States. The entire recruitment system is different in the United States. Mm-hmm. But it works really well in Europe, our system. It's practically based on the British Airways recruitment. And I just love it. We have this training for 9 years now. And I haven't really counted yet, but must be over 100 students successfully flying for different airlines. And, you know, Jack, it's amazing when you receive an email that, thank you, Emoki, you changed my entire life. Nice. I mean, it's just amazing, you know, when you get accepted by Emirates, for example, and you start living in Dubai, which is a complete different world of the Europe. And these are powerful sentences. So I'm totally hooked on that too. I love my Hello Flying business. That's the brand, Hello Flying.
Hello Flying. Okay.
Hello Flying.
So let's talk about that business as well as your transportation business. When it comes to social media, one of the things that that I found fascinating in your presentation here in Chicago were some rules for responding on social media to reviews and comments and especially negative comments and maybe some questions. And I think it's very different in these very niche businesses that you're running versus if we were an airline or Starbucks or some global company. You had some excellent rules that you shared. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. So let's jump into some of the rules. When someone makes a review, a bad review or a negative comment, what's the first thing an entrepreneur or a small business owner should think about and do?
Well, you know, any news is good news if they talk about you. And if they, this Zsuzsa Gábor, who is a Hungarian-born famous American, she studied that any news is good news as long as they talk about you. So if you receive a negative review, it's not all that bad after all, for two things. First of all, they draw your attention to something which is obviously not going very well in your company. Second, there is a chance for you to speak out and get noticed. So my first reaction to any kind of comment is to say thank you. Thank you for commenting. Mm. And thank you for writing a review, or thank you for your opinion. If it happens to be a negative comment, my second action is always showing sympathy. You don't necessarily need to agree with the person who complains, but because you not necessarily did anything wrong, it could be something personal or something to do with the airline. It's not necessarily you who've done something wrong. So, but showing sympathy is not apologizing. So saying that, oh, I really understand this situation. I see, let me see what I can do. Is almost minimum, I think, when it comes to handling complaints. As a third action, in this today's world, when you receive a direct question over the internet, like directed to you in person, you must give a personal answer. You just cannot get away with general answers like, oh, as per our company policy, we are not responsible for the airline actions, blah, blah, blah. Simply, yeah. You cannot get away with that. You must go and find out what happened exactly with that specific customer, and you need to give a tailor-made specific answer, solution, and you must do it.
Yes.
Because simply, seemingly, you are two people on the internet, on Facebook, for example, having a conversation, but in reality, hundreds, or depending on the situation, might maybe even 1,000 other people follow the conversation, and they make assumptions or judgment based on this conversation they see. So receiving a negative comment is an excellent opportunity for a company to shine their expertise, to show how they handle when something goes wrong, because people are not afraid of failures or of things might go wrong as long as they know what is going to happen. What people fear and hate is the unknown.
The unknown,
so when they see that, okay, if something goes wrong, this is what's going to happen, is a lot more acceptable than just, oh, this company only shows they do everything perfect. What if not?
Yes.
And so I absolutely think that, I firmly believe that a negative comment or negative conversation starting on the internet is actually a chance to show and shine and learn something new and make things better in the future.
I love all of those rules, especially the idea of a specific answer. I think there are too many people who've just fallen into the category in social media of, well, I've got an agency that just bangs out answers, and it's all cookie cutter, and they have three or four specific or not specific answers that the person mm-hmm. can give. You know, we're so sorry to hear about your unhappiness, right? Or something like that. Or, you know, please call our 800 number so we can talk to you offline, or, you know, something very general like that. And I guess if it's a huge company, maybe you have to do that or get involved with chatbots or something like that. Mm-hmm. But if you've got a small niche business like what you're talking about, there's nothing better than than the owner or you know, the manager of the business actually responding to that person and by them, you know, as themselves, and really letting that person know that I'm hearing you, I'm understanding what your issues are, and this is not a generic answer. So I think the other customers would see that and appreciate it as well.
Absolutely. Just when I was in Chicago, there is a particular item I wanted to order for a long time. It was a niche product manufactured by a small company in the United States. And I just sent them an email that I'm only for a few days in Chicago. Can you deliver within that 7 days period? And I received an answer from a lady who I know is the owner of the company. And maybe it wasn't her, maybe somebody wrote in her behalf, but it was her name at the bottom of the email. And you know, when I saw that she replied to me in person, my first thought was, no doubt, I'm going to order it right now. And I did. And they have delivered it on time. So yeah, very, very impressive. And I think every small business can't afford not being personal, but I can see more and more that that larger companies also learn this. Like if I have any problem with a budget airline, I'm not sure about the US, but in Europe, we are pegged with small airlines.
Yes.
Who don't even have a phone number to call, and you just can't get away. I mean, you buy your ticket and that's it. They don't really listen to you any longer. So if you want to achieve or get an answer, just write to their Facebook site. They will respond back very, very quickly. Or at least the smart ones do. So I can see that they kind of learn from small business owners to minimize the damage they might create with an upset customer on social media, because it can do damage. So, you know, especially for airlines.
Sure.
People in general in very, very sensitive about airlines and their mishandlings.
I also like that you start the process with thanking the person for sending the note, making the comment, leaving the review or whatever. It may not solve the problem. It may not calm them down right away, but it shows everyone else who's reading those reviews and everyone else who's seeing those comments that you're taking the high road from the start. You're actually thanking the person and trying to turn this into a positive experience. I think too many people start the conversation off with either getting defensive and say, no, we did not do that, right? Yeah. Or they go right for, you know, asking forgiveness. We're sorry. We're so sorry this happens. This never happens and it'll never happen again. And I think you just dig yourself into a deeper hole when you start with the apology and don't try to, make it a positive conversation and actually give that person credit for bringing the issue forward.
Well, I was a flight attendant. I've been yelled at many times for things I didn't do.
Yes.
And, you know, it's the most typical reaction from any person would be, why are you telling me this? It's not my fault.
Yeah.
And instead, I was always super nice when somebody yelled at me. And I could immediately feel that he feels so bad. Like, oh my God, I've been so arrogant to her, and look, she's nice. So I think the same thing in email negative comments. When they say something, because it's obviously a little bit negative and a little bit arrogant maybe. And if you give a nice reply, they instantly feel like, oh, okay, all right, she's actually nice. Okay, I better step back a little bit. And I firmly believe that your complainer can turn into your biggest supporter if you handle the case well. At least I can bring up a dozen example in my life, even in my personal life. When somebody approached me with a very negative attitude, I handled it well and we are best friends today.
Good.
And so maybe because you normally expect a fight and you're ready for a fight and this is what you are equipped for. So when kindness turns out, then it's like, oh, okay, I'm powerless.
Yes. And I think you're also working with the customer's potential to tell a story to other people someday about, you know, I had this problem, but you know what? They fixed it and jumped in and fixed it for me. And I think that's the opportunity to shine that you're talking about, that it could go bad and you could lose them as a customer and it could get even worse, but there's a potential there for someone to want to tell a story with a happy ending someday. Mm-hmm.
Because after all, we know that when something negative, I mean, a good experience, an average customer tells about it to maybe 4 others. Negative experience to tell to 10 others. The statistics like that, we know. And if it's a negative story turning into good, it still starts negative, so it's still newsworthy. People like to tell.
Sure.
So again, we are back to the same point again, that you have more chance to shine, more chance to show your expertise. So I totally encourage everyone to take it up with a kind approach and don't hit the delete button, don't erase the problem, but handle it, and then it will be absolutely beneficial to you.
Excellent. And we'll be back in just a moment with some contact information where people can learn more. But first, today's episode is brought to you by The Better Software Company. The Better Software Company has everything you need to take control of franchise operations with a software solution that does it all. Control your brand, support your franchisees, track leads, and take your sales and customer service to the next level with a CRM designed specifically for franchises. The Better Software Company believes that building franchise success means making it easy for franchisees to be successful. Learn more at thebettersoftwarecompany.com. That's thebettersoftwarecompany.com. Imoki, thanks so much for joining me today. As I mentioned, I really enjoyed presenting with you here at the conference in Chicago, and I've really enjoyed our chat today. If our listeners have additional questions for you about your businesses or about the response on social media to reviews and comments, where can we send people to connect with you?
Well, maybe the best would be to find my website, which is Budapest Vet, Budapest and the veterinarian, budapestvet.com. Or you might try, just put Imoki Pet Transport in Google. That most likely will lead to me too. Imoki is an extremely rare name, even in Hungary.
Okay.
So I'm a niche in there too.
Niche businesses, niche names. That's where we're at. Yeah.
It's funny, but I am like that. Honestly, I just can't do anything mainstream ever. I always go for the niche. Even I just realized it in this very moment, actually. Like, even my name is a niche name.
Yeah, there you go, niche name. There you go.
My brand, Hello Flying, I think it can be also can be found on the internet. It's my flight attendant training. This way or that way, you can find me. I'm also on LinkedIn, Imoki Hartyani. But maybe in Google, Imoki Pet Transport will be a quicker
okay
way.
And you know what?
I would love to get questions or responses.
Excellent. You know, and I'll have links to all of those places at the Social Geek website so people can find you very easily. Thanks so much again for joining me today. It's been a pleasure.
It was absolutely my pleasure. We're so honored. And it was great having the presentation with you, Jack. And you know that all through the conference after our presentation, people keep telling and asking me like, oh, so the two of yours, the presentation was so nice. So they actually thought that we deliberately prepared it to complement each other.
Oh, yes, of course. We prepared for months and months in advance, didn't we? Yes. I think we met 5 minutes before we took the stage. So
exactly. But we have complemented each other really well, which is great.
Yes, very good. Thank you so much for that. And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio today. Copyright 2019, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.